This episode is brought to you by Phonics with Robot Reg, a complete business-in-a-box franchise designed for teachers and early years professionals looking for more flexibility and fulfilment. If you're ready to leave the classroom but still want to make a difference, Phonics at Robot Reg offers the chance to run your own preschool phonics classes, all while enjoying a better work-life balance. Think school drop-offs, no missed assemblies, and time back with your family without giving up your passion for teaching. You'll be joining a supportive network of over 50 franchisees with full training, resources, and ongoing guidance to help you succeed. If this sounds like the change you've been waiting for, get in touch. We'd love to help you get started. Welcome to Leave Teaching And, the podcast that's all about transformation and new beginnings with Ruth Laquie, Lindsay Fekete and myself, Carrie-Anne Booth. If you're a teacher or educator who's had enough of the classroom grind and are ready to discover a whole new way to earn, live with freedom and enjoy an excellent quality of life, you're in the right place. Throughout this series, we'll be discussing a range of topics aimed at helping you leave teaching and start a business, inspiring you with real life stories, strategies, and guidance. Welcome to the very first episode of Leave Teaching And the podcast. I'm Ruth Laquie. I'm going to be hosting our very first episode alongside my wonderful co-hosts, Carrie-Anne Booth and Lindsay Fekete. We are so excited to get going and share with you guys some of the highs, the lows, some insights into how you can leave teaching, and we'll find out what's going to happen. So the first thing that I thought would be really, really great to do was for you guys to get to know us a little bit more and find out why we left. Why did we leave? Because I don't know about you, but for me, I went into teaching genuinely thinking I would be a teacher for the rest of my life. I never thought I would do anything else. And then look, here I am now. So Carrie-Anne, why did you leave?
Like you, Ruth, I was a secondary science teacher for 18 years and I thought I'd always be a teacher. All I ever wanted to do was inspire our next generation of scientists, but it just started getting too much. The increasing workload, the hours I was putting in, the not feeling good enough, not getting everything done, not ticking all those boxes. And I think it was in about November 2018, I was just finding it harder and harder to get out of bed every morning and go to work. Like, it was a daily struggle. I was tired. I was feeling ill all of the time. I was getting chest pains. So I went to the doctors and I got signed off with anxiety with depression, which was like a real shock because I'm one of the most like optimistic, happy people that you'll ever meet. So to be told I was depressed was like a real shock to the system. I was signed off from November till about February. I didn't know what I was going to do. I ended up getting a job in an independent school. So I'd been in the state sector for quite a while, found a job in the independent sector. And I thought, well, maybe this is the answer to all my problems. Smaller class sizes, less behaviour problems. And I was like, yeah, this is much nicer. But then the same things just started happening again. Too much work, pulling those 50, 60 hour weeks, not getting all my marking done, less time with my family, not enough sleep. And I just thought, I can't do this till I retire. I'll end up doing this until I die. And then what sort of life is that? So back in, I think it was July 2023, I decided I was going to leave. August 2023, handed my notice in. And then after October half term, that was it. I walked away from the classroom and I've never looked back since. And it's probably the best decision I've ever made. I wish I'd made it sooner, but I'm definitely healthy, happier. I've got more money, definitely got more time with my family. And yeah, it's just a better work-life balance. I know work-life balance is almost impossible to achieve, but it's just so much better than it was.
Yeah, absolutely. I can just imagine there's so many people that are listening to this right now that are like, I completely relate to that. I completely relate to that. Like, all the reasons that you've said for leaving teaching, like, I know you and you're one of the most happy, optimistic people ever. And I think going to the doctors and being diagnosed with depression, those sorts of things, you think, is this really me? And the impact that it can have on your life in so many different ways is scary, really, isn't it? But equally, leaving teaching and the impact that that has now had on your life is just such an incredible story, which we're going to go into in a little bit more. But I just think there's so many people that are going to be able to relate to that and think the same things about how they're feeling now or perhaps why they've left if they've recently left. What about you, Lindsay?
So I went into teaching a little bit later. I didn't go from school, from university. I worked in banking and I did that for 5 years and then realised really quickly that that was not my vocation in life. So I went back to university, trained to be a teacher, but then thought that was it, that was going to be my career forever. And I absolutely loved teaching from the first time that I started doing it. I loved it until it made me ill, basically. And I was a teacher for 21 years. I was a deputy head. I worked in a few different schools. And I sort of had a similar thing that happened to Carrie Anne, except I didn't realise it was happening to me. So I woke up one morning in October of 2021. So it was sort of just after COVID. It's COVID was still sort of going on, which I don't think helped a lot of teachers at that time. And I woke up one morning, it was a Monday morning, and I just couldn't get out of bed. And it was the most surreal feeling that I've ever had. And physically, I could, like, my arms could move, my legs could move. It wasn't like a sort of, you know, I'm frozen type thing, but my brain just stopped functioning. And I just remember thinking, I need to get up. But I just then couldn't do the next step. I was like, it's almost like I couldn't understand what the next thing was to do. So I was like, I just kept going through this. Oh, I really need to get up. And then I was just laying there. I really need to get up. And like my brain just didn't allow me to get out of bed. It was just awful. And then I still didn't really know what was going on. Decided to call in sick for the day. And I made it to the sofa and I basically stayed on my sofa for about 3 days and cried constantly for about 3 days. I watched TV, went to the fridge to get snacks and came back to the sofa. And that was all that I did. And I'd never been sort of diagnosed with any work-related stress. I didn't see it coming. In hindsight, when I look back, I really could see, you know, I could see the signs. But at the time, I just didn't know what was happening. And I think I probably had a couple of weeks off. I took a couple of weeks off and I just realized I couldn't go back into what I was doing and just carry on doing it. So my head was really supportive. I said, I don't want to carry on. I need to leave. But I had no clue what I was going to do. I sort of presumed I would just do something similar to teaching, but maybe with less responsibility. So I cut down my hours. I was full time and I went down to 3 days a week. I said, I don't want any more deputy head responsibility. I don't want any of the pressure of that. And that was sort of gone. And I went into class and I did a job share for the rest of the year and started looking for other jobs. And I was looking for other teaching jobs, but trying to find something that would give me something that I knew, but wouldn't give me any pressure, but could still give me an income that I needed. And it was, I just spent weeks trying to find this like elusive job that I wanted. I went for an intervention job that I didn't get, which I just absolutely floored my confidence massively. And then somebody just said, why don't you try tutoring and sort of give that a go? I was very anti it because I just thought, I don't want to. I think I just need to stop the teaching now. I don't think I can find a job that I enjoy. And I did. I started it and loved it. And I will talk a bit more about what we're going to, like what we're doing now and what we did after we left. But like Carrie Anne, I never, ever, I know now that I could never go back and work in a school and be employed by a school. Being self-employed is challenging. It's hard work, but it's just amazing, and my life just looks so different, and I'm a completely different person now than I was 4 years ago when I left.
Yes. Life changing, isn't it? And I think your story, your experiences, what you've been through are so hard hitting. Even when you mentioned then that you went for a job as like an intervention teacher and you didn't get it, and at the time how crushing that must have been. Yeah. Debilitating to your confidence. And yet I'm such a big believer of this anyway. I'm like, everything happens for a reason. You don't see it at the time, but genuinely, whatever struggle you're going through right now, whatever you don't see where you're going, you don't know, it's all guiding you and leading you to where you're supposed to be. So that door didn't open because the right door for you did open, which was going into your tuition. And I think that's our focus with this podcast. We really, really want to empower teachers just like you who are listening to this thinking, I want to do something else. I don't know what I want to do. How do I do it? Is there someone who's done this and been successful? And that's what our goal, isn't it? To be that uplifting guidance to help you guys to leave teaching and you're going to write your own story just like we have, which is really, really exciting.
What about you, Ruth? Why did you leave?
So I left for different reasons to you guys, really. So I'm sure we'll get into this throughout the podcast, but there's been periods within my teaching career where I definitely experienced stress. I definitely experienced, illness from that. But that wasn't the ultimate reason as to why I left. I had had my little boy. He was born. And at that point, I was deputy head teacher of a primary school. And I enjoyed my job. Teaching was all I'd ever done. I did a B.Ed. So I didn't do like a degree in English or something and then train to be. I literally went full in from 18. I'm going to be a primary school teacher and that's all I'm going to do. And, you know, signed up, loved it, worked my way up. Again, I think I'm quite different really, because I always knew that I did want to go up the career ladder. Whereas quite a lot of people say, oh, I didn't know I wanted to become an assistant. It just sort of happened. But my grandma was a head teacher, and I think I'd obviously always been influenced by that. I knew I was always driven. I wanted to do that. So I did all of those things. I'd hit assistant head at 26. I was deputy at 28. And then I had my little boy. And then suddenly I was like, okay, I love teaching. I've given all this to it. I work the hours that I work. But I just need a little bit of time to be mum. Like, I just want to be mummy. I want to give my own son a little bit of me alongside everything I've given to all these children for years and everything I continue to do. And actually, the juggle is just insane. You know, we work hard now, but it is so different because I'm not constrained to being at school at 7:30 in the morning and leaving at 6:00. I fit everything around. So essentially I really wanted 3 days a week. I was happy to take 4. And it was, you can only come back full time if you want to stay in your senior leadership position, or you can come back part time, but you have to go back to class teacher. And me being me, I was like, well, that feels like a big kick in the teeth, because, you know, I've worked my way up. I've sacrificed so much over the years to achieve what I've achieved. Suddenly, because I've had a baby, now you're telling me that I can't do that role that I've been doing effectively, that I've enjoyed doing, that I've committed so much to, that I have to take a pay cut. And, you know, for me, it just didn't sit right. So I didn't know what I was going to do. And it was the hardest no to take at the time, when it was like, you can't come back full time, if you can't come back part time if you want to stay at that. It hurt. You know how you're saying that when you didn't get that job, that really hurt you? It was painful to be rejected from a job that I loved doing. But equally, even though it was the hardest no to take, it really was the best blessing in disguise, Because I decided, right, that's it. I'm going to leave. I'm going to do something else where I feel valued for the skills that I've got, for the experience I've got, for the qualifications I've got. Like, I had my master's degree as well. I've done as much as I possibly could, but also means that I can be there for my, it was my son at the time. I've got two children now, be there for my children, be able to put them at first, essentially, because that's what was important to me, and build a life that enables us to be together and to have flexibility and freedom and all of those wonderful things. So I didn't choose to leave. I was sort of made to leave. The choice was made for me, essentially, but it was a good choice, definitely. Absolutely, it really was. So what exactly do we do now? I'm going to start with you, Lindsay, because I think when a lot of people think, what shall I leave? What shall I do? One of the things that you mentioned that comes into mind is tuition. You have taken tuition, absolutely run with it, and grown an amazing business. So I know people are going to be on the edge of their seats wanting to hear in a lot more detail what it is that you actually do.
So I started out when I first left thinking that I was absolutely not going to have anything to do with teaching. I thought I was done. But what I realised is that once I started, I was just trying it out. I thought I'd just try it and see what happens. And literally from the first lesson that I did, I realized like the bit that I'd been missing from my career was enjoying the teaching, and just the teaching, without the bureaucracy, without the paperwork, without the objectives, without the targets, just actually supporting children, which when I went back and think about it, that was what I went into teaching for, and that had got lost along the way and buried underneath all the rest of the bureaucracy, really. So I started tutoring. At first it was me, and I quickly became full. I took on more and more and more students. I started initially tutoring English and maths, and then realised that I just loved the maths so much, because although I had an English degree and maths wasn't my specialism at all, that was why I loved teaching it to other to children, because I saw myself as that 7-year-old or 6-year-old struggling with maths at school, which I did. And I just thought I knew from teaching it didn't have to be that way. And there were so many children that weren't very confident with maths, didn't enjoy it, thought they were no good at it, thought they couldn't do it. And I just recognised myself in those children, and wanted, I don't think there's a reason for any child to feel like that. And I wanted to help as many children as I could to not feel like that. So I focused just on maths tuition, and worked with primary children, because that's what I was qualified to teach. And then I got about 2 years in and thought, actually, I can either just stay where I am like this, but I've got all these students that are wanting tuition, and I had a waiting list. And I felt like I was sort of missing something to grow my business. So I decided that I would consider taking on other students and I would start an agency. I put it off for about 12 months because it seemed really scary, and then got to the point where I decided that I would investigate, and realised actually once I'd got the basics and the legal stuff in place, it was actually going to be the best thing for my business. So I started taking on other tutors, started with primary again because that's what I was confident with. And then it's grown and grown, and I now have primary and secondary tutors who work with me. I've been very lucky. I've got an amazing team of tutors. They're all really passionate about helping children with their maths confidence. And I love it. And we can reach so many more children than just I could by myself. And I think that's what I've realised as I've started my business, that it isn't just about me. It's about how many people I can support and how many people I can help. So I love it. I love the teaching of maths.
I love that as well. I can't say that I would ever say I love the teaching of maths, because I am that person who is that maths anxiety. And that's why I love that actually, I totally get what you mean, that because you found maths like not a struggle necessarily, but had that feeling towards maths as well, you wanted to be able to help and teach more, because to understand how it works, I completely get that. And it just works so, so well. And I think niching down has really helped as well, hasn't it? Because this is the other thing, when we first start a business, we're like, I've got all these amazing ideas. I want to go and do everything. I'm going to take over the world. But actually, it's too much. And you very quickly realize that you're on a slippery slope to almost burnout in a different sense. And so it is really key. And that's such a crucial point to niching down. Don't try and do everything. Try and focus on what it is that you do. And I also love the point that you said about having that impact on being able to reach so many more children. That really, really resonated with me as well, because, you know, it's been amazing, like being able to reach those children in my school and have the impact on them. But actually now it's like nationwide, it's global. You're having that wider impact on so many more children. And because you're in such a better place, you're having your positivity shines through, and you're being able to really able to support them as well, which is just absolutely amazing. How do you run your business? Do you hire other people? Are you still working by yourself? How does that work?
I hire other tutors on a freelance basis. So they're not employed, they're all freelance, self-employed tutors. And they work with me. I effectively find the students, do all the marketing, sort all the admin, take all the like that side of things away for tutors, and they get on with the tutoring and do the lessons. It's worked really well. It works really well. And the thing that you said about like helping more students, that was the reason, moving on a little bit to more about what I do now, that was the reason that I started to help other tutors to grow their businesses as well. I think there can be a bit of fear sometimes that like other people that are doing the same thing as you are your competitors, and you should sort of try and like get the students yourself or build your business, and somebody else might take them away, and or somebody else, they might go with someone else. But actually, I realise that if we can work together, and if I can support other tutors to grow their businesses, there are so many children that need help and support. One, I can't possibly help them all myself. Even if I grew my agency to like hundreds of tutors, I couldn't help all the children that need that support. But also, if I help them to grow their business, then they can reach more children. And that ripple effect can just go on and on, can't it? So that was why I started supporting other tutors to do the same. And I had to sort of like not have that mindset of they were my competitors and I was working against them, if you like, or, you know, trying to we weren't competition. And I think that's been really important and something that I enjoy doing. So yeah,
that quote just springs to mind: alone we can do so little, together we can do so much. And that is true. That is so true, isn't it? Like, we can do so much together. And I know through your tutoring agency, you're obviously empowering and supporting all those children, but through your Tutor Growth Academy, you're having the impact on the tutors as well, which in turn is going
a much bigger impact,
more and more and more, which is just, it's amazing. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a much bigger impact. So what about you, Ree? Tell us about what you're doing.
So I have three businesses, essentially. We've got My Mummy Teacher, as I said previously, it's me as an educational consultant, and I love doing this for very similar reasons that you've said, really. It's having an impact on a wider range. So a lot of the work that I do is with corporate brands, and I will work on their sort of education branch of whatever it is they're doing. So I'm working recently with like a building company, for example, and they are wanting to develop workshops in schools for their their builders, not just their builders, but their whole like project managers, all of this sort of thing, to go in and deliver as part of their social value aspect. And I never even realized these things existed until I like went, I left teaching. And so I've been able to sort of write workshops for them. I will train them on how to then go and deliver these workshops to schools. But again, it's the impact that I've had on being able to not just have a difference on the children in my class or my school. Actually, that scheme of work, that workshop that I have written, is going nationwide across the UK. And all of these people will be going in and delivering that, which I absolutely love. So in terms of consultancy, I do a few different things. I either work with brands and corporate as an educational consultant to advise them on education, or I work with schools. And again, this is sort of a collaboration thing. So I'll work with schools to be able, I still go in and support in terms of like looking at their SEND and inclusion, because that's something that's so important for me, and that falls under there. And then I've got MMT Play, which are our resources. I decided to build a product-based business, which is something a little bit different, and because lots of people think about doing a service or a class or tutoring. But the reason why I left was to be able to spend more time with my children. And if I was going straight into something like tutoring, for example, at that point in time, the hours that I would have had to do wouldn't have been that great for me, bearing in mind that like, my specialism is early years, key stage one, so the children are really young, so I'd need to be with them when I want to be with my own child. So I thought about it, but it just wasn't going to quite work for me. And so then I started thinking about creating products, and I always laugh because I used to make ridiculously long lesson plans because that's what we had to do. And it's ridiculous. I worked for one amazing head teacher who told us we could plan an outstanding lesson on a post-it note. He was amazing. I then worked for other executive heads and head teachers who wanted like 5 million pages of gump for me to deliver one lesson. However, looking back now, I'm like, well, thanks for that, because it's enabled me to have this skill where I can now write these workshops, give it to anyone, and anyone can go and deliver it. Or with like the resources that I create, I'm able to put it in such detail or relay it in a way where parents can pick it up and run with it. They understand what it says. I guess it's communication and stuff. So I got to take my own skills. So that business, I built an online business. We sell products, we sell physical products, we sell digital products. Digital products are great because you've basically got zero overhead costs in terms of creating it. You've got a lot of profit in there. And I have got to the point now where I can be like on a walk with my children, I can be cooking dinner, I can be doing whatever, and my business is bringing in money because it's through product sales. So that's what worked really well for me, and that's the second avenue that I went down. And then, like you were saying, talking about what I do now, Beyond the Classroom Club is essentially a place to support teachers to build an online business exactly like I've done, whether that's a personal brand or whether that's a product-based business or a digital product-based business. That's sort of my speciality, so to speak.
I think it's really interesting about what you're saying about the skills. And I know we're going to talk about that later, but sometimes when you're in teaching, you think, well, what else can I do? And you don't realize the millions of skills that we've got, that we've learned through our jobs that we can transfer to different places. And I loved what you said about the corporate work that you're doing now. I feel the same. I would never have known that I would have been doing some of the things that I'm doing. But the fact that you've taken those opportunities and you've like gone with it and explored it has just shown like how much that it's developed your business. I think that's brilliant.
Absolutely. No, it's been a ride. I really enjoy it, but it has been a ride. What about you, Carrie-Anne?
funny. Like, I never ever wanted to be a business owner. In fact, I remember in my student house at university, speaking to the people I lived with, I remember saying, like, it sticks in my head to this day now because I'm doing the total opposite. I remember saying, I would never want my own business. I just want to go to work each day. I want somebody to tell me what to do. I'll do it. I'll go home and I don't want any responsibility. And here I am now, fully self-employed with a limited company and, yeah, doing it all myself. So, yeah, my past self would be like, what? So my business started way before I even thought I was going to leave the classroom. So I had my little girl back in 2015, and as she was getting older, we were going to like toddler classes and music classes, and then all the birthday parties start coming along. So there's all the princesses and magicians and superheroes, and I was like, oh, I wouldn't want this as my party when I was little. Like, what about the geeks? What about the nerds? What about the kids who love science? And I was like, there is nothing. There is nothing for those children who love science. They don't want to go and have a football party. They don't want a princess. And I was like, God, right, there's a gap in the market. And there wasn't a gap in the market nationwide, but there is a gap in the market, or there was a gap in the market in Cumbria, the county I live in. So for whatever mad reason, whilst working along like full-time teaching, having a six-month-old baby, I thought it was a great idea to start a birthday party business based on science. So I launched my little business, The Science Booth, and I remember putting it on Facebook about 5 a.m. and just waiting for something to happen, and nothing happened. I was like, oh, that was a bit of an anticlimax. But I remember just plugging away at it and growing this little, it didn't even feel like a business back then. It was just like this weird little hobby idea thing that I was growing on the side. And I remember getting my first booking was for a friend of a friend. I was teaching an adult ed class on top of being a full-time teacher, and it was her sister-in-law. She wanted a science birthday party for her little boy, and I remember that was my first booking. And so yeah, the Science Booth was born, providing science entertainment for birthday parties. And I used to get a few bookings, like, I don't know, maybe like one booking every 3 months, and it was just this nice little hobby that I was doing. And it's like one of those things, once I'd started it, I'd created this thing, the Science Booth, and I couldn't stop. It was like a little monster, really. I was like, well, I've created this thing and I can't just stop it because people know about it now. So I didn't ever like want to grow the business into something massive. It was just like, it exists, I have to keep it alive. So I just kept going and going and going, taking on more birthday party bookings. And then like I was going into like brownie groups and scouts. And then I went part-time at school, so I was doing like 4 days a week at school. So then I was able to go into schools to do assemblies and workshops. And it just started to grow and grow. And alongside being stressed out and depressed in teaching, like, I hated going into school, but then I loved going in doing my work. So I was like, it started to become like the more important thing. And I thought, well, you know, maybe this is a thing. But it got to a point where I couldn't grow it any bigger, because obviously I was teaching 4 days a week. And I was like, well, I can only do what I can do. So when I did finally decide that I was leaving, the business was already 6.5 years old. And I think I already had thousands of followers on Facebook and in the local area. So it was already an established business. So it was a leap of faith, but it wasn't a massive leap of faith into the unknown. Like, I already had this brand. I already had this business. I knew I could get birthday party bookings. I knew if I wasn't in school, I could do more assemblies and workshops in schools. And then I thought, well, I need a regular income. And that's where the after school clubs came in as well. So I knew there was the potential for me to earn enough money in this business. And then when I did leave, I was fully booked for after school clubs before I'd even handed like my notice in. I was already booked like for the next year, and I knew I was able to bring that money in. So the Science Booth does birthday parties, workshops, assemblies, after school clubs, and next month we've got our first adult sort of day. We're having chemistry and curry with some grown-ups in a museum, so they're going to get to see a chemistry show, they're going to get to do some hands-on chemistry, and they get curry and a pint as well. So like, the potential of this business has grown into something that I never really planned initially, I never imagined, but the more I got involved in my own business, the more it grew into this amazing thing. And it's nice to look back on like the 6 years before I left teaching. I kind of worked out how many children I'd impacted, and it was around about 10,000, just as me on my own. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And then this year I looked at the impact I'd had on like reaching children, and in just 1 year I'd reached 4,000 children. I was like, whoa, that is insane. But then, like you and Lindsay have both said, you're only one person. The ripple in your pond is only so big. You can only do so much. So for me, it was about reaching more children, having that bigger impact, creating this, you know, the new generation of scientists that have come through to be doctors, dentists, researchers, engineers, and still inspiring all those children. And it's like, as one person, you can do a lot. With more people, you can do even more. So there was two ways in which I wanted to sort of reach more children. And the first way was with the STEAM Educator staff room. And like Lindsay and yourself have said, collaboration over competition every single time. You don't walk into the supermarket and roll your eyes at all the different varieties of bread that are on sale. You buy the loaf of bread that you like and then you move on. And it's the same out there. I want there to be lots of science providers out in the world, and I want to help them. I want to help them get better. I want to help them reach more children. I want to help them with their marketing, their well-being, because they're going to reach children that I'm never going to see. So the STEAM Educator Staff Room is a free community where we help each other, we cheer each other on, we share our ideas. Like, I'll freely give worksheets and lesson plans to people that I'm trying to help out, and that's lovely. And that community has gone from being zero, like every Facebook group, to 300 at the start of last year, and it's now 750, and that's growing and growing and growing. And it is genuinely my favorite place to hang out on the internet. It's like the staff room at school. Well, the staff room in schools nowadays are pretty empty, but when the staff rooms in schools were buzzing, and you'd go and see your little work friend, and you'd have a chat, you'd have a cry, you'd help each other out with a problem you had, that is what the STEAM Educator staff room has become for me. They are my work colleagues now. Like, I'll go and have a chat, and I go in and ask questions, and I have problems, and we all help each other out. So that was one way in which I thought I could help other people doing what I do, reach more children. And then the second way of doing that is, well, looking at my business, and for a long time, I was like, well, this sounds really big-headed and I'm blowing my own trumpet, but I was like, well, I'm the unique selling point. I present science in such an amazing and fun way. That's why kids want to do it. But, you know, when I took a step back and stopped blowing my own trumpet quite so much, I thought, no, I can teach people how to present science in this way. I can help people be as inspiring and as exciting as I am. So this past year, and I'm definitely not through the journey yet, and like we've said, it is a journey. It never stops. New level, new devil. You know, you get bigger, you earn more money, you reach more children, there's more challenges. So this past year or so, I've been working on franchising the business, which has been a lot, but it's been like, it's a good thing to do. So the Science Booth Cumbria is what I'm currently running. The Science Booth Cornwall opened at the end of October last year, which was quite nice, actually. It was almost exactly a year to the date I walked out of the classroom that I opened my first franchise. And now I can like sit back and say, well, my business is going national. I might only have one franchisee now, but in 10 years time, who knows what that's going to look like. And if I can reach 4,000 children in 1 year, so can any other franchisee. And I just want to empower as many great teachers, great educators, or in fact, anybody who's enthusiastic about science to go out and do what I do, because you totally can do it. And it's fun, and you can make a living from it on your own terms. You can take holidays during school time. You can pick your kids up from school. You can get to those sports days. And you know what? You can get 8 hours sleep as well and not be stressing about marking and inspections and observations and book scrutinies. And yeah, you can actually have peace of mind, deliver what you're passionate about, and just like have a life at the same time as well.
I'm like, sign me up. I want to see. It's so, so true. And I love what you said there about when you were first starting your business and you're like, oh, my little business, like mindset. We're going to go on to this so, so much. If you have started your business right now, you have a business. It's not my little business, it's your business. And that is so key. And the second you can think that and start thinking, this is my business, not, oh, it's just this little embarrassing thing that I kind of do, but I don't really want to talk about it because if it doesn't work out, then that's going to be a bit embarrassing and everybody's going to know that I failed. Well, we keep failing and we fail forward. That is what we do. We do things, they don't work. We try again, we pivot, we turn, we do something different. But get that mindset right if you're listening to this right now. It's not a little business. It's your business and it's so, so, so important. And I love as well that we're all so different. Like, you had been building your business throughout the time where you were thinking about leaving teaching. I sort of got thrown into it because I had a child. I didn't have anything when I started. And then obviously Lindsay as well, you're sort of similar to me, really. You didn't think about doing it. You didn't leave with a business to go to. You just left and were like, let's take it on. Let's do this. So the conversations we're going to have are going to be really incredible in delving a little bit deeper into all the different things. And I think if you're listening to this right now, you'll agree. We all bring such different things that there is somebody here that you can relate to and be like, that's me. I love a bit of science. I love a bit of tutoring. I love a bit of online business. And yeah, hopefully you'll find a safe space in here to explore that a little bit more. You've been listening to the Leave Teaching And podcast with me, Ruth McQuee, Lindsay Pecherty and Carrie-Anne Booth. If you've enjoyed our conversation today, don't forget you can follow us on socials to hear about future episodes, events and ways to help you leave teaching and start your own business.